Blog Talk Radio.
I love to watch a woman dance. She bows her head and lifts her hands. Her hips begin to circle slowly. Her eyes half closed, her face is holy. She holds the whole I love to watch a woman dance. Yeah, I love to watch a woman dance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Be Now, the beautiful network of women radio show. This is your host, Jeannie Brocious King, and I welcome my lovely co-host, Cindy Jordan. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Jeannie.
It's a beautiful day here in Texas, and we have a very special guest today, Elaine Ambrose. Elaine, we are so happy that you are joining us today.
Good morning from Idaho. How are you?
Well, we're just doing great, and I thank you for getting up early today. So
yes.
One of the things... I know that you're going to be speaking to us about an event that just happened 10 days ago when you lost your brother suddenly. It's called The Good Brother, The Now Is What We Have. But I want to talk about you just a little bit, Elaine, and tell our listeners some of your background. Elaine is a number one best-selling author, humorist, and syndicated blogger. She has authored or co-authored 10 books, including Menopause Sucks. Oh, yeah. Her book, Midlife Cabaret, has won 2 National Humor Awards, and Publishers Weekly reviewed the book as laugh out loud funny. You have your sequel, which is Midlife Happy, is a finalist for the Forward Indies Book of the Year, and it won first place in the Independent Press Award for Midlife and was named Distinguished Favorite for Humor. Now, what I really do want to say, though, this is hilarious because what you became after 40 years of writing, you became most famous for a blog that you wrote called Don't Fart During an MRI, which went viral. It has over 800,000 likes. It's been translated into 6 different languages. It keeps showing up in medical magazines. Tell us about this.
Yeah, well, my fart follows me everywhere. I can't get rid of it. No, I was having a medical procedure and needed an MRI, and so I wrote about what happened to me in the MRI. I didn't have any idea it would be so popular. And what that tells me is that people want humor. They want to laugh about everyday experiences. And it is a frightening occurrence to go into an MRI if you've never done it before. And so now my blog has been posted in medical offices all over the country. And like you said, it was translated into 6 different languages, and I get emails from Korea. They must fart a lot in Korea, but in Italy, in Germany. So you go where you get the fame, right? So I think humor, people want humor. We want to laugh.
Yes.
We want to smile. And there's just so much crabbiness in the world today that people are looking for joy. And if you can laugh about a fart, go ahead.
Yes, I love it. So, and even when you posted about losing your brother suddenly, and I had to just laugh out loud because you just can't help yourself from being funny. You said something like you wanted to tell him and you ordered the house wine. So anyhow,
I know.
You just, I'm going to, and as an owner of a winery, you know, I get that.
I was with him 4 hours before he passed away, and we went to a restaurant, and he was struggling, and we ordered wine. Of course, I did not order the house wine, but he did. And then 4 hours later, he died, and that was my first thought. I always react with humor, and it may be dark humor, but why did you order the house wine when you could have gotten top shelf? But that was
yeah.
And And but that goes along with your show of living in the now. And why do we wait and say, oh, I got to lose 10 pounds, or I've got to find the perfect job, or I can't travel or write a book because I've got something else to do? We need to rethink that and do it now. We don't know how long we have. My brother was 4 years younger than I am. And so I'm going to live the best I can for the years that he didn't get to live.
Aww. I love that attitude. So when in thinking about this whole process, let's just walk us through this. You know, I loved what you had to say, Elaine, about him being so talented and fun and people loved him and he was creative and he was musical. But somewhere along the line, and I grew up in a family like this too, you know, it was all about, you know, that's not very, you know, productive and you've got to work really hard. So just talk to us about this whole process. I just want to hear your story.
We grew up on a potato farm. Of course we did. It was a potato farm in Idaho, and we had to work. We moved sprinkler pipe before school every fall, harvest season. My brother and I worked in the potato fields. And art and music wasn't that important in our family because we had to go work. And George was a very talented artist and singer. We were both in concert choirs at the University of Idaho, but that wasn't important at home. We had work to do. And I look back on that with a bit of sadness. I've been able to continue my writing career, and that's using my talent. But he never really got to continue his artwork because he took over the farm after my father passed away. So I feel bad about that, but I'm going to continue his legacy by writing about him, about writing about opportunities, and how, do you know that living in the present involves all five senses? If you think about hearing, and a very popular song a few years ago was Don't Worry, Be Happy. Why was that song so popular? It's because it has a catchy tune. It made people happy. They played it on repeat. And some of the music today, I'm talking like an old curmudgeon, but it's just angry. And so I encourage your listeners to go back to the happy music. Find the old music, like There's a Summer Place or the Hallelujah Chorus. And then to another sense is sight. Go in your patio and just look and take your grandkids to the park. Read a good book. Do you know there's an online course now called Shiny Happy Art? And it's for amateurs who want to learn how to draw, and you do it online, so it's non-threatening, and you can do it from home. And then if we go into touch, there's nothing like the touch of another human or a hug. My mother spent her last few years in assisted living, and all she wanted to do was hold my hand. And people hunger for touch, and that is being in the now. You can give a hug right now. Then go on to taste. If you want to really enjoy today, eat some good food. Cook a meal. Take a cooking class. Invite your family over. And it doesn't have to be gourmet. It can be crackers and cheese. But if you sit together and share a meal in the present and don't worry about what you're going to fix for some grandiose, fabulous feast. And then finally, smell. I love to smell the flowers in the spring. I love to smell good cooking, the smell of a new baby. All this you can do right now, today, and it's free. And you have to go searching for the big things because they're all around you. And that's what I tried to write. I'm doing a gratuitous plug right now. In my book, Midlife Cabernet and Midlife Happy Hour, I talk about balancing midlife without falling over and how to have a party time in the empty nest. And then I even talk about elder care, and I make it funny. Some of us middle-aged women are taking care of ailing parents as we're helping our adult children and grandchildren. Why not write a book about it? And I encourage women in particular to start writing, start blogging. It's free. And I've had some of the best times blogging, and I do it in the now. I can blog any time of the day, sitting in my pajamas with a cup of coffee in my office. And I've done the audiobooks and the e-books, and that led for opportunities to speak at the Irma Bombeck Conference, where, again, people want to laugh. They want to enjoy being in the now. And that's what I'm going to do in honor of my brother George, is to celebrate today, celebrate right now that I'm talking to you in Texas and I don't even know you, but now we're best friends.
Aww. Yes, we are. And I was going to bring that up about Irma Bombeck and you speaking there and being featured with some of your blogs. She wrote a really famous, well, they didn't call it blogs then, Elaine. I think they called it columns. But she wrote a very famous piece about not waiting until, you know, the carpet's clean, until the grass has grown back in, and, you know, all of that. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Irma, in that very column, she wrote about don't wait till the fancy candle melts in storage. How many of us were given a fancy candle as a gift and, oh, this is too pretty, this is too nice. So we put it in storage or we put it up until it melts and was never used. I wrote a blog about my mother passing away, and I had to choose what she wore in her casket. And I wrote a blog called The Robe. And she had a robe that my father brought her from Japan 40 years before she passed away, and she refused to wear it because it was too nice. And so that's what she wore for her funeral. And why wait? It was a gorgeous silk robe with embroidery, and it hung in her closet for 40 years. And Irma was right. We put things off or put them away because they're too good. And that just robs us of the opportunity to enjoy it in the now with an attitude of gratitude, to be thankful for that.
Absolutely correct. Cindy is a songwriter and a vocalist and talking about the power of music. Cindy wrote and actually won the country hit of the year in 1983 for writing Jose Cuervo, You Are a Friend of Mine. And, you know, it's that joyousness. And Cindy, you know, when you wrote that, you didn't have any woman in mind to sing it, but, you know, it's that joyousness of just being who you are and enjoying the music. And it's not about, you know, getting drunk and you know, hanging on to tequila, but you make some very important points, Elaine. I had never really thought about being in the now as a complete sensory experience, but it is.
It is. It is. Yes. And so many of my friends are downsizing. The kids have moved out, and they have this big house with all the bedrooms. So they're moving into smaller homes. They're going into more of a minimalist survival mode. We don't need all the stuff. We don't need all the clutter. We don't need half the stuff that's in our homes. And as they're downsizing, it's freedom. It's a burden off of them. It's easier to lock up and go away on a trip. It's easier to pay the property taxes and the mortgage when it's a smaller place. And many of my friends are doing something else to live in the now. They're taking off their watches. Now, this is something I grew up with, wearing a watch. I always have to know what time it is, and I look at my watch often. Can you imagine if you took your watch off and put your cell phone down and went outside for a walk? Some people can't do that. And if you think about how trapped we are to these devices that order us the time of the day, the who's calling and where we're going and what our schedule is, put it down. Put it for a half hour, surely we can do that. Take off the watch, put the cell phone down, walk outside, smell, look, see, hear. It's all around us, and it always has been. We had a full moon last night that was absolutely stunning. And my husband and I sat on the patio and just looked at the moon. And we were living in the present, and what a beautiful experience that was. And we weren't burdened by all the noise and the cacophony and the chaos that's in the world today, because we turned it off.
Yes. Well, you know, it's and you just bring up something very important, Elaine. Right now, it just seems like the entire world is in chaos. And part of the reason, in my opinion, is the instant access to everybody's opinion and all the news, which, of course, is always bad news, and it just keeps us stirred up all the time.
You know, I majored in journalism because I wanted to be the great journalist. I was in college during the Watergate years, and so, yeah, I was going to write articles like that. The problem now is with the 24-hour-a-day news channels, and there are so many of them, everybody has to be on with some kind of talking head espousing some kind of opinion. And if you listen to the talking heads, they're going, I don't know if this is going to happen, but it could happen. Well, what kind of journalism is that? And people are so mad on social media. I'm very active on social media, on Facebook and Twitter, and because I like to reach friends there. I sell my books sometimes. But the anger and the vitriol is reaching new heights, or I guess new lows. And some of my friends even are getting caught up in this vitriol that does nothing. It does no good. And if they could just step back and read what they're writing before they hit send, before you post something, save it, but don't post it if it's nasty. It doesn't do any good. And I'm searching for people who are positive and who accept things. You know, there was a good book several years ago by Eckhart Tolle, and he talks about living in the now. And he says sometimes letting go was a far greater power than defending or hanging on. And how many of us just carry that big bag of worry and trouble and burdens, and it's hard to walk very far when you're carrying that much baggage. Let it go. And it's easier to walk. He was a good one. And he also says the primary cause of unhappiness is never the situation, but your thoughts about it. I can't control politics right now, and so I am going to limit my exposure to it. I will be educated, but I'm not going to rant on and on social media on things over which I have no control. I can be happy. I can make some cookies this afternoon with my granddaughter. I can listen to some good music. I can talk with you and maybe meet you someday. It's right now, today, that matters.
I teach The Artist's Way, which is by Julia Cameron, and it's a 12-week course of excavating creativity. And when she wrote this, there was no, like, social media and all of this. But what she did in the fourth week, she has what she called reading deprivation, because so many times we just, instead of paying attention to what our thoughts are and what our feelings are, Elaine, you know, we just, you know, we use other people's words like tiny tranquilizers. So what I do with my students is I put them on a reading and media deprivation week. And girl, you should see, people have a snot-slinging, wall-eyed fit. You know, it's like, I can't give up my, you know. It's like, yeah, you can. And when you do, when you step back and, you know, cut out all the email and all the, and, you know, like, well, I have to write for my work. And it's like, you know what, we've all been in college, and we know that if we don't want to write a paper, there's some way around it. So I think that you are exactly right about just stepping back, focusing on what it is that is important in the now. Did you and George ever talk about this sort of stuff, or was he too busy, or how did that work?
That's the problem that I feel bad about, that we never did have that serious discussion. We knew he had cancer, and we avoided it. And now, in hindsight, I regret that we didn't just sit down and say, yeah, it's not treatable at this point. It got into his lymph nodes and around his throat. He could barely talk anymore. But then he was still joking about how he wasn't going to get Social Security because he passed away at age 61. And he was joking that he couldn't tell jokes as well because he couldn't talk. If you can still joke 4 hours before you're dying, what a blessing that is to others. It was a blessing to me, his sister, that he made me laugh. And, I'm getting all emotional now. But the gift he gave to me, and that I'm going to try to pass on to my children and my grandchildren, is that positive attitude. Is that, yeah, life sucks sometimes, but how you face it, and if you can make other people happy on your way out, that's a blessing to them.
It truly is.
And
Cindy, do you have anything? Yeah.
Well, she's speaking our language completely. When she was talking about music, my husband and I do these cross-country trips, and he listens to Willie's Roadhouse. I always say, no wonder Cuervo was a hit. because the music always seems so depressing. And then, of course, Jeannie talks about clutter clearing, you know. So, Elaine, you're right on spot with what Jeannie and I like to talk about the most. I like to ask you this. Since your brother has passed, have you had little signs that he's with you?
Yes. One of my favorite songs came on. And I like you, I love music and different songs, and it was a song that we both had liked, and it comes on often now. I totally believe in that. That
mm-hmm.
we're never
oh, yeah.
really alone, and that spirit is with us, and it's humbling, and which I'm not good at being humble, but he and both my parents have passed too, and so I'm often looking at three stars up in the sky.
Do you mind telling us what that song is?
It's the Hallelujah Chorus, and we were both in a choir at University of Idaho called the Vandaliers, and we often sang the Handel's Messiah. And when the Hallelujah Chorus comes on, or that song, Hallelujah, which is many people, artists are doing it now, whenever that comes on,
yes.
I know that, you know, it's an angel ball. I believe in that.
So it's almost like he's dancing in his new body now and celebrating. He wants you to know that he's fine and he's happy.
And out of pain.
And you feel that, right. When we have experiences like that, it's so personal, you know, that you know it's real, right? But thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes. We all have families, and some families don't get along, and it's a shame. There are certain family members that I have troubles with, and I just have to focus on what I can do to make it positive, and if it doesn't work, then I have to focus on other family members. Both my children are grown, and I'm so blessed that they live in the same area with their spouses and children.
Yes.
And when you see your kids grow up and turn out okay, that is such a gift. And it doesn't matter what I did in my career if my kids are failures, and they are good people. And it's very rewarding to me. And I'm in a rewarding marriage, and it's just, I am so blessed at my age to be this old and to be able to write. And that's, again, I encourage women in particular, when they have the empty nest and they feel so lonely and useless, no, start writing. Turn that empty bedroom into a writing nook or an arts area or a sewing room, and then use those talents that we had to put aside when we were raising children. And it opens up all kinds of possibilities that I, at my age, I'm in my 60s, and I'm still writing books and blogs, and what a wonderful opportunity to do, and I'm going to continue doing it as long as I can.
And let
I
me
think
just
we have
jump
a response
in here.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say,
before
it gets away from us, do want you to know, Elaine, that we're going to be doing more of these. You know, I invite you to come be with us at the Be Now Retreat the end of September. And, you know, you're our kind of people. And the next one that we have, which will be after the first of the year, we definitely want you as one of our presenters. So we will hopefully meet
you
in
bet.
September.
I'd love to. I love to present at conferences or workshops, and I've got a variety of workshops. People can look on my website at elaineambrose.com, and I have some speeches. My most popular speech is Live Happy or Die Crabby.
Ooh! I like that. And you know what? It's and that even that title just makes me laugh, but it's true, you know, because even just living happy is really living, and you can be alive and be dying you know, in a crabby
right.
type of mood. Everything is colored by that. So I just
yes.
I absolutely love that. Now you have been traveling the country, and what's coming up for you? Is there anything on the horizon?
Well, tomorrow morning I leave for New Hampshire, which, you know, is 50 years ahead of Idaho, but it's only going to take me 9 hours to get there. I'm going for the National Society of Newspaper Columnists convention where I'm getting a writing award, and I'm going to sell my books there. So I've never been to New Hampshire, so that'll be exciting. That'll be fun.
Well, congratulations. Do you teach people how to write, or?
Yes, I have writing workshops. I have one in August. I'm having it at a golf course, and we're calling it Manuscripts and Mulligans, where in the afternoon those who golf can golf, and those who don't want to golf can sit by the pool and write. So, and that information is on my website also. So, no, I love to teach writing and speaking. So many people can't speak. And if they want to write, they should be able to read their work out loud to a group. And there are many people who are afraid to do that. And it's fun to teach them that speaking in front of a group, nobody's going to throw tomatoes. Nobody's going to boo. Just get up and do it. It
yes.
takes a little self-confidence. Yeah.
It does. But, you know, we hosted a woman, Adrienne LaCava, at our winery several years ago when she came out with her first book. And this little public library in this tiny town that I live in Texas, hosted her, and someone said, would you read us a chapter? And she just captivated the whole audience that way. So I think you're exactly mm-hmm. right. If you can mm-hmm. relate to people, not only in the written word, but in the spoken word too, and you are brilliant at that.
Well, there's so many times I've gone to an artist reading, and they are very uncomfortable. And it sort of ruins it for the audience because the author can't read out loud. And really, it just takes practicing in front of a mirror, repeating it over and over until you're comfortable. Start with a small group and then work into a larger group. So it can be done.
So if you were going to give any piece of advice or anything that you feel so strongly about around this living in the now and all of that to the people who are listening, what would you tell us?
Do it. Just do it. You know, I'm going to repeat Eckhart Tolle again. Realizing deeply that the present moment is all you have. Make the now the primary focus of your life. My brother's gone. He can't do another thing on earth, but I can, and I will. So, Jeannie and Cindy, I've really enjoyed talking with you. I feel like we're best friends.
Well, we are. We just haven't met you
yes.
yet. So we're so excited about your award tomorrow. Are they going to also give you a newspaper column to write, or do we know what that
means? It was to recognize. It's my syndicated blogs that are getting recognized. So I'll continue that. And I'll be at a banquet with Maureen Dowd. I've always wanted to meet her. She's a columnist in New York. So it'll be fun. And, I get to travel and meet wonderful people and use my talents. And it's a great gig. I'm so fortunate. And I'm so grateful for today and tomorrow that I get to do this.
And we're grateful for you, your sense of self, your sense of love, and your tender heart when you speak about your brother George. I mean, Cindy, we are the luckiest people in the world because we get to talk to Elaine Ambrose and other people like her. And
well,
share.
Let's keep it up.
Share her. Yes. So thank you, Elaine. And people who want to get in touch with you, give us your website again.
Yeah, ElaineAmbrose.com.
Mm-hmm.
And my email is ebooks and audiobooks. I've also got children's books in audiobook. And my email is Elaine@ElaineAmbrose.com. And I'm also on most of the social media platforms.
Well,
cool.
You are a delight, and we wish you all
Thank
the
you.
Luck tomorrow. And we are so grateful that you stopped by to talk to us today.
Thank you, Jeannie and Cindy. Let's talk again.
We will
do that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Elaine.
I love to watch a woman dance. She bows her head and lifts her hands. Her hips begin to circle slowly. Her eyes half closed, her face is holy. She holds the whole world in a trance. I love to watch a woman dance. Yeah, I love.